But now I'm feeling worship. I'm feeling worship. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord and all that's within me. Lift your hands if you would. Bless the Lord. Let's go into worship. Bless the Lord. Come on. Listen, I've learned something about serving the Lord, that even when it doesn't feel like he's done anything great, even when it feels like you spent a year toiling, trying to figure out what hit you, what's not happening, what else negative can happen, I've learned to sing. I've learned to speak those things which be not as though they were. And so when I'm speaking, he's done great things. Maybe I've not experienced it.
Yes.
All right. Boy, the place is pregnant with possibility. I'm telling you, boy. My Lord. Put your hands together if you would. This was one of those moments in God. My wife and I are going to do something family-oriented today. I'm going to do the majority of the talking. My wife will talk as well, and we're just going to minister here just over these next number of moments here on our Sunday before Christmas service. And I believe the Lord really has a specific word that he wants us to share today. So I just want you to prepare your hearts and minds. Would you do that right now? Would you just lift your hands? Father, we just thank you for your Holy Spirit presence, your power, and your authority. Prepare of your heart, mind, spirit, soul that is available in this house today, Lord God. Let this just not be another day in the house of God, but may this day be a day that is strategic, destined, purpose for your goodwill and your good pleasure, Lord God. May we receive of your word and be changed from the inside out. In the mighty, matchless name, the name that is above every name in all the earth, that mighty name of Yeshua, Jesus Christ. Everybody say amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord.
Baba, oh, Nyana one. I'm sorry. Stand up. You are a king. Into Neku Katazayunya. Are the tongue in the red, Baba? Bumbako Bong. Bushala was Lung Selela Ukuba, Ikumka. The Kufundi, sir, the Kukakresh. Ushili Apa Italeni one. That is not what I am talking about. I am not ready to be without you. A man who has not prepared his children for his own death has failed as a father. Have I ever failed you? Never. Tell me how to best protect Wakanda. I want to be a great king, Baba. Just like you, you're going to struggle.
So you need to surround yourself with people you trust.
You're a good man with a good heart. And it's hard for a good man to be king.
Probably one of my favorite scenes, if not my most favorite scene from that movie, Black Panther, and really it'll speak to where I want to go today. That first particular scene, you see the man who's Chadwick named T'Challa in the movie, and he's, you know, he's made a mistake. He didn't finish something, and he's down before his father. And of course, you heard his father say, he says, stand up. Why? You're a king. The reality is, for many of you in here, you've been in a position such as this all year. Because life will beat you up, and you'll make mistakes. And you'll do and say things you shouldn't say. You'll be places you shouldn't be. You might even get into some things that you shouldn't get into. But I can hear the Lord saying to every man and woman, a child in this place right now, stand up. You're a king. And you're a queen. And I have called you, and I have called you to greater. Let every man in here say, I'm a king. And let every woman in here say, I'm a queen. Walk like it. Talk like it. Stand up in the face of adversity. I could literally preach that portion of that because he says something that I want us to grab there at the end. He said, T'Challa, he said, I want to be a great king like you. So how can I be that? He said, you're going to struggle. Somebody need to get this that's been struggling this year. You're going to struggle. He says, why? He said, because it's hard for a good man to be king. He says, you're a good man with a good heart. The thing about it, everybody, is when you're a good man or a good woman with a good heart, people will run over you. Okay. But God has equipped you. God has strengthened you. You all can be seated. Y'all keep standing up. Y'all going to make me preach. I'm not preaching today. I got my wife up here. I said, oh, I'm going
to preach.
You said I can.
You can preach.
I can preach, baby. Yes. I can preach. Well, you know, we'll see how. Treasured moments. If you want to put a title down, just treasured moments. Treasured moments is what I really want to talk about here today. I'm going to give you some familiar scriptures. I'm going to be a teacher here and just give you some things that you can feed and eat on. Isaiah 9, verse 6.
Hallelujah.
For a child is born to us. New Living Translation. I know New King reads a little bit differently. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. I want to build where I'm going today, so I'm going to take you to another scripture here in Matthew 1, verse 18, and it reads, this is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph, but before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the what? Through the power of the Holy Spirit is the birthing agent. What comes out of you is a birthing place where you've got to have the Holy Spirit to make room. Because in many of you here, even this morning, the Holy Spirit is birthing new things in you. New ideas. Come on, somebody. A new favor in you is being birthed through the power of the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus. My daughter said it. For he will save his people from their sins. All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him, everybody, actually, Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Shout Emmanuel. God is with you. God is with us. He's within your home. If you've invited him in your home, God is in your home. God is not a one-house staying God. Somebody help me in this place. God does not. So you can take God home with you, and you can speak the presence of Holy Spirit and the power of God's Spirit within your home, within your job, within your vehicles. Come on, somebody. Within every portion of your life. Does everybody want to have Emmanuel a part of everything that you do? I don't know about you. I can't afford to do anything without God. You can speak to it whenever you feel led, honey. Matthew 2, verse 6. And you, O Bethlehem in the land of Judah, say Judah, are not least among the cities of Judah. For a ruler will come from you, who will be the shepherd for my people, Israel. Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Everybody pull in and grab a hold of this. Then he told them, go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too. After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. Say Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. The star stopped. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother, Mary. And they bowed and worshiped. They bowed and they worshiped. They saw the baby in the manger, the baby, the savior of the world, prepared by being held by Mary, spoken into existence by God, as my wife spoke a little bit earlier. And the Bible says, when they saw, they bowed and they worshiped. When you come into the presence of God, you can do nothing but bow and worship. We've got to learn to disengage from the world and find a place in worship. How many of you know worship can take you to a place that the world can't tap into? That's why many of you consume yourselves when you get in your car with worship. Oh, my gosh. Am I talking to about five of you all this morning? So that you can find a place. Anybody ever just want to escape just for a minute? Okay. Can I talk to about six or seven mothers that just love their kids but want to get away just for a moment? Come on, just for a minute and just find yourself in a place of worship. There's nothing like finding a place in worship where you can bow and you can give God adoration and you can give him glory.
Yes, and also with that, too, I look at this as being, they came to bring gifts, so they brought the gift of worship.
That's good.
To him.
That's good.
So are we bringing the gift of worship to Jesus?
Yeah. So when we actually come in here, as we did just a little bit ago on a Sunday morning, we're actually bringing something with us. In body of Christ, if we can realize how much that pulls upon what is being given. See, when you come in and you're ready. See, there's a few of you that have had a rough week, but you still came in here ready to give God praise, glory, and honor. Come on. And then maybe two or three of you, it was like that old cold engine. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? That cold engine. That thing, come on now. That thing that don't quite turn over. You gotta keep cranking it up. Listen, I'm not saying that God will not browbeat you for that whatsoever. Absolutely not. He's a loving God. But what I'm saying is that oftentimes when you come in dry and drained and not prepared to get into a place in God, what can happen is that you spend maybe 10 of those minutes just trying to get. So if worship practically is a 30-minute set, then 10 of those minutes you were really disengaged. You were just trying to get going. Okay, I know that's not a Christmas message, but it's good. Lean on somebody, say it's good anyway. It's good anyway now. Go ahead, babe. Go ahead.
The gift of worship, when you begin to worship, it opens up a realm. It opens up the atmosphere for you to get into a place.
Yes.
To hear from God, to get new strategies, to get ideas from God. It opens up a realm for us to get access to a place that we've never been in God. And the thing about worship is, the enemy cannot stop you from getting into worship. When you begin to worship, he flees. He runs from the presence of worship. So always have that in mind to bring the gift of worship to God.
That's good. And let me speak to this as well. Worship is not about how long you've been saved. It's not about that. It's not about why, you know, I've only been saved or I'm not saved. You know, when God renews you and you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, what happens is that God just does something in you and it brings you to your knees, you really realize you cannot function outside of him. Because even, I can tell you, I didn't learn to worship from anybody. I worship because of who he is. See, okay, don't miss this. I don't worship because of what he does for me. I thank God what he does for me, but we worship him because of who he is. Because he is the Savior, because he is Adonai, because he is Elohim, because he is Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shalom, because he is Jehovah Tsidkenu. We worship him because of who he is, not because of what he does. Is that good, everybody? When they bowed down and worshiped him, they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I'm going to try to get through this here. We'll see what Holy Spirit says, because I want to give you this. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. This is so powerful, everybody, because something happened in this scripture. Three things. You can write them down or take a picture, whichever is easiest. Three things happened in the scripture that we just read to you. Number one was the announcement. So he's announced. He's announced. You do know that when you came into the earth, the heavens were served notice that you was on your way. Number two, it was the declaration. They made a declaration, which is the beginning of a stated thing. The beginning of a stated thing that's about to come to pass, which is why it was spoken in the Old Testament. I don't want to go over anybody's head, but that's why it was spoken in Isaiah the prophet of that which was to come. So there was the announcement, the declaration, and the presentation, which were the gifts. Yeah, these gifts that were given from the wise man to our Savior, Jesus, this gold, this frankincense, and this myrrh. And watch this, everybody. The representation of these gifts. First of all, the gold. Let's go into that. The gold. The gold was a symbol of divinity. So when they gave Jesus this gold, this was a symbol of divinity. God in flesh. This gold was given to him simply because, watch this, pure gold never tarnishes. Pure gold never tarnishes. It's an indestructible element, gold is. It's a bright and fervent fire. Let me go back just for a millisecond, literally. It never tarnishes, which really Isaiah spoke in 9:7 when he said, his kingdom will never end. It will never tarnish. It will never get old. I don't care what the world creates. Jesus will still be Lord on the throne, ruling in the earth. Amen, everybody? Matter of fact, because we've said this before, you know, coming out as pure gold, I was reminded of Job. And Job, when he said, when he has tried me, I shall come forth as pure gold. But one of the keys, everybody, is that sometimes you got to be tried before you'll come forth as pure gold. Some of you are in the trying process, but you will come forth. Somebody say, I will come forth as pure gold. You want to add to that, babe?
Yes, I just want to add the fire. Not all fire is bad.
Yeah.
Fire can be very destructive, but not all fire is bad. Because the Bible talks about the purifying fire that comes to purify us, to sanctify us. So I just wanted someone to know that all fires are not bad.
That's good. Sometimes God uses the fire to burn stuff off of you.
Yes. And we want him to purify us so that we become like him.
Amen, honey. Amen. So they bring this gold to Jesus. They bring this frankincense. Write this out. They bring this frankincense to God, to the Lord, to Jesus, God in flesh. Now, this frankincense represents this sacred anointing oil, this perfume. It symbolized, watch this, everybody, holiness and righteousness, his willingness to become a sacrifice. Okay? His willingness. So they bring him gold, which we just talked about, this purification, this never tarnishing element. Then they bring this frankincense to him, this sacred anointing oil, his perfume. It speaks about holiness and righteousness and the fact that Jesus, as a baby, because he's God in flesh, is willingness to become a sacrifice. And then the last one is myrrh. So they bring this myrrh to him. This was an ingredient in the anointing oil. Watch this. It symbolized bitterness, suffering, and affliction. So they bring gold, frankincense, and they bring this myrrh, this another added on ingredient which speaks to bitterness and suffering and affliction. And if you're like me, you're understanding and you're seeing preparation for what was about to happen in the life of our Jesus. Now, this frankincense, let me stretch this just a little bit further. This frankincense derives from a tree. I did a study on this called the Boswellia tree. The Boswellia tree, okay? This frankincense that they presented to Jesus. Now, this is used as a healing extract in the Eastern world today. I'm talking today. Actually proven to treat and heal leukemia and cancer. So the very frankincense that was brought to Jesus derived from the Boswellia tree. To this day, the extracts from this tree are used to heal leukemia and cancer. And then when you get into the myrrh, watch this. This myrrh derives from this another tree called the comifera. The comifera tree. This is used as a medical resin. This out of the comifera tree, watch this, everybody, out of this particular tree is where we get the balm of Gilead. Many of you have heard of that, the balm of Gilead. So we get this out of the comifera tree, the balm of Gilead. So listen, I'm giving you all of these detailed areas of presentation because it's so important to know that the wise men in their presentation, the depth of what they were giving him. So they were giving Jesus gifts. They brought him gifts. They brought him all of these gifts. Anybody like to receive gifts? Anybody like to receive gifts? Now, those of you that didn't say yes, you lying. Because everybody like to receive gifts. You like to receive gifts. And it's a beautiful thing to receive gifts, right? Come here, Pastor Mike. So I got some gifts for you. See, Pastor Mike loves receiving gifts, amen? So listen, there's something, here's the thing about it, though. A gift is given freely. Hear me, everybody. A gift is given freely. A gift is not given where you puppeteer people. Because sometimes people will give you something and you'll give them something and you'll try to puppeteer them. But here's what I'm saying as well. When Jesus gives you a gift, it's given with expectation. So he expects you, freely you give, freely you receive. So he expects you to receive this gift with humility, with honor, with brokenness. Those of you who have children, if you celebrate Christmas in a way that you give gifts to your children, at the least bit you want your kids to say thank you. Can I get an amen in this place right now? At the least bit, just say thank you. Just don't open that stuff and play and all this other stuff and don't say thank you. And don't act like I gotta do this for you. Okay, I'm preaching now. Don't you act like I don't have to do this for you. I actually worked for what I'm giving you. I actually worked for this. So the least you can do is be thankful for what I gave you. Watch this. I've already done enough for you not to have to do nothing for you just because it's Christmas. So don't trip and act like you got to have all this stuff. Oh, I'm having a flashback right now in the name of Jesus. I need deliverance. My God. My God. But I'm giving you this gift with expectation, not only that you will, watch this, not only will you receive the gift, but you'll use it. See, not everybody around you appreciates the gift that you've been given. But nevertheless, you've been given a gift. See, what gift have what gift? Because I'm going to talk about it at the end. But the primary chief gift that you've been given is salvation. I need somebody to just put their hands together for salvation. Okay. I know it might be early in the service, or maybe halfway, or maybe I'm a third of the way through. Who knows? Let's see how God actually moves me. But I thank God just for the gift of salvation. I thank God that I am saved, set free, and redeemed. I thank God that I understand fully that He is on the throne. I thank God fully that I am not confused about who is God. I'm not confused about heaven or hell. I know there's a hell. But I thank God that I am going to heaven whenever that day comes. I thank God that He gave me the gift of salvation, honey. So He gives these gifts, and we give them with. So they had given all of these. They gave all. Yeah, Pastor Mike's happy. Those are just props. There's nothing in there. There's nothing in those. But Jesus had been given. Watch this. So we look at what Jesus is giving by the man, because many of us, especially of us maybe who have been around church a little bit and heard particular texts, we think about the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh, and we say that the Lord, watch this, that they were preparing Jesus for burial. That's part of it. They were preparing Jesus. They were anointing Jesus as a baby in preparation for His burial. Watch this. But a part of it, they were anointing Jesus, watch this, and they were killing any flesh. When you get saved, there is a flesh portion of you that must die so that you can live. But rather it just being that they were preparing Jesus for His burial, the Lord gave me that they were preparing Jesus for battle. They were preparing Him, everybody, for battle, for what He was about to face for each of us, for what He was about to go through for each of us. He had been anointed. He had been covered. He had been given gold, which meant Your kingdom will never tarnish. No matter what you go through, you'll come out as pure gold. No matter what situations, no circumstances that you bump your head against, you coming out as pure gold. You may not have had a great 2018, but by golly gee, you're still coming out as pure gold. You're still stronger than what you've ever been. You're still brighter than what you've ever been. Even though you thought, some of y'all thought you was going to lose your mind, but thank God on high that not only did you make it, you're now thinking forward and you're now visualizing about what God has in store for you. If that's you, put your hands together right now. Boy, I love these moments, everybody, and I'm almost finished. There's a treasure moment that happens here in Luke 17. Right around verse 11, and this is about these men with 10 leprosy. And the Bible says that these men with 10 leprosy, they cry out to Jesus. They say, Jesus. Somebody say, Jesus.
Jesus.
Somebody yell, Jesus.
Jesus.
Oh, there it is. They say, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They have leprosy. Leprosy was a death sentence, period. They had a death sentence on them. You know, leprosy, you had to sequester yourself. You had to be only with folk with leprosy. They say, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Jesus says to them, He says, go show yourselves to the priest. Jesus leans on the Old Testament. Go show yourselves to the priest. The Bible says that on their way to showing themselves to the priest, they were all healed of leprosy. But wouldn't you know it? As the 10 of them are healed, the Bible says that one comes back. One comes back, just one. They've been given the gift of healing. But only one comes back. And he says, thank you, Jesus, for what you did for me. You didn't have to. Thank you, God, that you've given me the gift of healing. And the Bible says that Jesus looks at the one that comes back. And he says, didn't I heal 10 of you? But only one of you came back. And then Jesus says this to him, everybody. He says, listen, your faith has made you whole. Wait a minute. So something happens, honey. So not only is he healed, he's made whole. Oh, wait, don't miss that. I don't want to just get healed. I want to be made whole. When I'm made whole, everything is restored. Okay, wait a minute. Oh, y'all going to make me preach in a minute. When you're made whole, everything is restored to brand new again. It's fine to be healed, no question. And we claim our healing by the name of Jesus. But what I want is when I get healed, I want anything that was in that gap of time that I lost. Anything that the devil tried to steal in between there, I want all that back. Okay, babe, go. You want to add to that, baby? I need to sit down. I'm getting too excited. I'm getting too excited because I want everything. I don't want you all to miss nothing. I want everything that God has for you to come back to you. Stop limiting God with your prayers. Lord, just do this little thing. Lord, just do this. No, he wants to do more than just that little thing. God wants to restore your whole family. God wants to not only, oh, Lord, heal my marriage. Look, he don't want to just heal your marriage. He wants you to have the best marriage on the planet. Oh, Lord, help me, Lord God. I just want to make enough money to get by. Oh, no, baby. God wants to do more than that in your life. Not only does he want you to get by, Lord wants you to give. He wants you to give. Shake somebody and say, I want to be made whole. I was the wrong person. I was the wrong person. They didn't even respond to you. Come on, stand on your feet and give God glory right now. Right now. Come on, stand on your feet. Give God glory if you can. Get my minstrels up here. Come on. Somebody put those hands together. Come on. Shake two people and say, I want to be made whole. Shake two people. Shake. Come on, two people. That was one. Y'all can sit down. Let me wind home here. Thy faith has made thee whole. I'm reminded of something here on this Christmas season is that God's given us this gift of salvation. I'm going to touch on that here in a second again. But it's another step of faith when God heals you, delivers you, you actually receive him as Lord and Savior. You then begin to walk out a lifestyle that resembles one who is Christ-like. But I think of this leper in the fact that he came back. So now, because it's so important that we just always come back to the Father. How many of you know people can't save you? People can't save you. They can't save you. They can lead you. I've led a lot of people, thank the Lord, but I've not saved anybody. I've led them to a man who has died. There's no nail prints in my hands. I've led them to him. But it's something about coming back to Jesus. All right, okay. Let me finish here. Luke 19. I think we're going to finish here. Luke 19, verse 1. It says, Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. Say Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. Now, that's powerful, everybody, isn't it? Here's Zacchaeus. He's this chief tax collector. The Bible says he's wealthy. He has garnered money, and tax collector was a disreputable reputation in that day because they were known to maybe take more than what was necessary from the citizens. And the Bible says that Zacchaeus, he hears that Jesus is coming by and there must be some people. Now, he must be really short because I can imagine there were like 6'5", 6'6", people around there. Maybe they weren't. But the Bible says that he tries to position himself where he can see Jesus. So he's short. Now, I told my wife, I'm not really short. I'm average height. And I'm 5'9". So that's like, okay, Pastor Mike, you got jokes? Okay. And Pastor Mike, you know, it would take a 6'2 man to have jokes at his pastor, you know. But this man, he's probably shorter than me. He was probably like Bill, Minister Bills. Minister Bills. That's my spiritual son. He knows I'm messing with him. But the Bible says that Zacchaeus is, he's so short that he positions himself in a sycamore tree so that he can get a look at Jesus. Now, there's a couple of things that strike me about Zacchaeus. First of all, I guess he considered himself so unimportant that Jesus wouldn't notice him unless he got in a tree. Even though he had acquired stuff, even though he had some money and this, that, and the other, he still had to reposition himself. And I don't know about you, but sometimes in life, you really do have to reposition yourself. It's one of the things that I'm telling you right now, church family, as we are winding up 2018, you may need to reposition yourself. You may need to do some things here a little bit differently going into 2019. I've been telling you for the last number of months, you've got to really do some research around what's around you and the people that are in your space. Hey, you want to speak to that, honey?
Yes, that's very important that we reposition ourselves going into 2019, because what we don't want to do is you don't want to be doing the same things, getting the same results.
That's
we're going to have to do something different. We're going to have to just go for goal, as they would say, just go for goal, go for everything that's in God, and just reposition ourselves so that we get something different going into this new year.
Yeah.
I don't know about anyone here, but I want something different. I'm tired of the same old things.
Lord.
I want to see something that I've never seen before in God.
Come on.
And in order for me to do that, I have to reposition myself.
Yes, yes.
My prayer life, my time with the Lord, my fasting, whatever it is, reading the word, remembering the word.
Yes.
Being around the right people.
Yes, yes.
Reposition yourself.
Amen, amen.
Yes.
I love it. Jesus sees Zacchaeus, and he sees him in his tree, and he says, quick, come down. Quick, come down. He looks up there, and he sees Zacchaeus. He said, come on down. Now, everybody around there, they're like, that dude's a crook. He's a crook. He's a criminal. He's been stealing our money, this, that. And then Jesus really hits everybody in the mouth. He says, I must be a guest in your home.
Yes. Reposition yourself.
How many of y'all know Jesus didn't mind irritating people? Come on, somebody. Now, y'all know they had to irritate everybody around there. Wait, not first of all, for you to talk to him is beyond us. But now you're talking about you want to go to his home. See, I want to be, Zacchaeus is so moved, he's so struck by this. Zacchaeus says, he said, listen, if I've cheated anybody, and I have, I'll give them four times as much back. Jesus says what? Salvation has come to your house. You mean the gift of salvation? No, me. Wait. Jesus said, salvation as in me has come to your own house. I love the fact that God will take somebody whom everybody thinks doesn't deserve this, that, and the other, And God will place a crown upon them. God will vindicate them. God will lift them. God will use folk around you just to irritate you. I love that God does that because we're a people that can get judgmental. And we're a people that can hold people hostage for stuff that they've done. Sometimes we can look at people a little bit differently and think that they're strange. We can look at inhibitants and things like that because they don't look, quote unquote, what we might consider normal. I want to close this message out here on this Christmas Sunday with a moment, a treasured moment, that my wife and I had when we were in Florida this past last week. So I want you all, I want us to play this video here this morning. Say, Pastor, what's that? We were at this phenomenal event, and there are probably a few hundred people there. There's 100+ little girls in the room, along with their parents and their families. And these gentlemen that are part of this show, what they do, because that's our second time going, my family and I, they just choose one individual in the whole place, and then they crown that individual. It's usually a little girl. Again, we had been there a couple years ago, and wouldn't you know it, just a couple of weeks ago, all of those little girls in that whole space, few hundred people, at least 100+ little girls, wouldn't you know that those beautiful people found my baby girl and brought that crown over to my baby girl, and they crowned her queen. They validated what I already know, somebody. She is the queen. She might be different, but she is the queen, everybody. Amen, everybody. That's what God does.
Yes, that's what he does.
That's what he does.
Peculiar.
You want to come up, man?
Hallelujah.
See if she'll come up. Naomi, you want to come up? Come on. Just pull her up, say. She'll come. Y'all say hi to Queen Naomi. There was a time in our lives she wouldn't do this. So it just tells you about the growth, you know, that the Lord has done in her life. Why did I show you that video? First of all, it's probably one of the most precious moments in my entire life. I was a ball of tears as they were crowning Naomi. I show you that because when Naomi was born, Naomi has Down syndrome. She's a beautiful young 12-year-old. She is the light of our lives. You know, 12 years ago, we didn't know what to expect. We just didn't know. We didn't know how to raise a special needs child, and we were asking a lot of questions of God. We were not mad at God, but we were just trying to figure it out. I see a beautiful Sammy over there. I see her. Yeah, beautiful Samantha over there, one of Naomi's friends. You see her over there, man? Yeah. Just beautiful. But But we didn't know. We didn't know. And God just taught us so much. God taught us patience, love unequivocally. Really showed us what it means to really love unconditionally. Not to judge. Not to assume. Because we assume so much. I spent the first number of years, my wife, no, I spent the first number of years just protecting her. Just protecting her, you know, just, you know, people would just look at her a little different, you know, especially kids, they look at her a little different. They, you know, they're trying to figure out, like, why is she looking a little different? So when she was younger, I would just protect her all the time. I would just, you know, now I tell my wife, I'm like, you know, if it's a kid look at her or a daughter or whatever like that, I just look at them like, what? What's the problem? So, was she fine? I know she's fine. She's a gift. God gave us a gift. Everything that God gives you doesn't always look exactly like you thought it was going to look. That doesn't prevent it from being a gift. Somebody get that this morning, somebody. Y'all get that this morning. It's still a gift. And she is our gift, honey. You want to say something?
Yes.
Worship team, y'all can come on up.
He said it's our gift. One thing I've learned with our journey and with this gift is, you know, God gives different things, and mm-hmm. just because it's different doesn't mean that it's bad. Because the Bible says that we are different as yep. children of God,
mm-hmm.
that we are peculiar people.
That's right.
So really, we are strange to the world.
We are. That's exactly it.
And they look at us different.
Yep.
And they don't understand what we do,
mm-hmm.
and the way that we live, and even how we look. Mm-hmm. So with that same thing, that's how I look at our gift, mm-hmm. Naomi.
Yeah. I remember a precious spiritual daughter many years ago. You know, we were just having a conversation about, you know, Naomi and, you know, and this, that, and the other. It was a beautiful conversation. But I remember her saying, like, she said, Pastor, she said, the reality is that we all have special needs. All of us. How many of y'all would agree with that?
Yes.
Lean on somebody and say, you know you special needs now. You know for real.
Yes.
For real.
Special
for real,
needs.
Though, as they say. No. Believe you me. You are special.
Yeah, we need Jesus.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. We
need
Jesus.
So we're all special. We need Jesus.
We need Jesus. Three things happen. I want to give this. There were three things that happened with Zacchaeus. One was fellowship. The second one, these were gifts. He had the gift of fellowship, the gift of repentance, and the gift of salvation. Lift your hands all over the building, if you would. Fellowship. Take these moments here during the holiday season to fellowship with family and friends, and really to appreciate, wrap your arms around people that you love and that you care for. Also take the opportunity to forgive people and not hold on to things that literally can make you sick on the inside. The gift of repentance. I'm going to give you the opportunity here in just a moment to repent about anything that you may need to repent about before the Lord. You and God know. Certainly salvation. To give your life to Jesus Christ and to make him your Lord and your Savior. If you would, everybody on their feet and just lift your hands. If you're a man of woman of God, or even a child here today, you're of a cognitive ability of understanding. As we finish up our Sunday prior to Christmas, there were a man and a woman of God that would say, Pastor, there's some things I want to repent about. And I want to come down to the altar. I want to meet the Lord at the altar. If that's you, just come down right now. Come down. It's Mary's. Thank you, man of God. Thank you. Don't look around. This is for you. This is for you. Said some things in my life I want to lay at the feet of Jesus. There's some heaviness. There's been a few things going on in my life I just want to repent about. I want to lay it down before the feet of God. Thank you, men of God, for coming. The more of you, just come quickly. Come quickly. Just excuse me. Come down to this area right here. Just say, Lord, I just need to lay some things at your feet. It's not about anybody else. It's about you. Thank you, man. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, daughter. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, Lord. So I want to lay some things down before the feet of the Lord. Repenting, remember, is turning away from. It means you're actually turning away from it. You don't repent to man, you repent to God. You ask for man's forgiveness. But when you repent, you're repenting to the Lord our Savior, the only one who can receive our sins. Whatever that area is in your life, as you're standing here right now, I just want you to give your heart to the Lord. Some of you may be here for that third portion, which is salvation. Your repentance today, it may be that you not only repent, but that you renew your life to Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. You have the opportunity to do that right now. So as the worship team begins to go forth in song, I want his altar workers to go to these individuals, man with a man, woman with a woman. Just begin to pray with these individuals, especially those who are seeking salvation. I'll be speaking the blessing here in just a few moments. If you all can just exercise your godly patience.
I just want to see your face. I just
Bless the Lord. Thank the Lord for what he has done today. Thank you, Lord. Thank God for the many souls which repented today, those who turned away from whatever it is that they were maybe struggling with, those who gave their lives to Christ. There's no greater gift to God than us giving him full reign in our lives. I thank God for that eternally. Listen, we wish you all the most amazing Christmas and holiday season that you can experience. There's so many beautiful people. Some I know out of town and so on and so forth. I don't want to get to start naming people because I'm going to forget somebody. But I certainly want to give recognition. My oldest son is in town today from New York City. Can you just give him a big hand clap? He doesn't get with us very often, but thank the Lord he was able to make it with us this holiday season. Listen, we're going to scoot our way out there as quickly as possible so we can hug as many as you as we can and just wish you a merry, merry Christmas. So if you don't have to rush out, maybe you do, but if you don't, you can just kind of gather in that line out there. We just want to wish you all a very, very merry Christmas. I'm about to speak the blessing. You know how it go, Bob. Unless somebody got to go potty, don't let them out the door until I get done speaking the blessing. So lift your hands all over the building. Keep your eyes on us. Don't close them. Keep them open. We're speaking the blessing into your lives. Listen, we bless you in the name of Jesus Christ, the name above all names in all the earth. That name is matchless. It is the name of which demons flee and tongues confess. We bless you coming and we bless you going. We bless all that you put your hands to that is God intended for your purpose. That's the key. We bless this season of your life. We're going to speak and we're going to declare, no matter what you've experienced, that it's your best season. Somebody say, it's my best season. Listen, we bless your homes and your jobs. We bless your finances. We bless your mental capacity. May you be a student. May you be physically, emotionally, mentally strong, stronger than you've ever experienced. I told you each week that God's only given us one amazing life to live. All we can do is live it the very best that we can. Be excited, be energetic, be full of life so much so that we do what? Can you hug or high five somebody around you? God bless you. Merry Christmas. We will see you next Sunday. God bless you.